A rundown of suggested independent podcasts for winter listening by Alice Florence Orr and Liam Heffernan from Podcast Review. Hello Unknown. Jonathan Wright's Hello Unknown launched its second season earlier this year. If you're unfamiliar, the show is a delicate, story-driven podcast that investigates questions of the human experience. In this case, that means ideas around spirituality, place, language, and how we relate to each other. In the first episode of Series 2, Wrong Colours, Wright explores sectarian issues in Glasgow. He compares the phrases and insults that Celtic and Rangers throw at each other in the name of religion, and questions their hate in the name of God. As someone who has spent many years living in Glasgow, it is refreshing to hear a nuanced take on a conflict that has become woven into the fabric of an otherwise friendly and cultural city. So many podcasts claim to be impartial or a new take on a familiar story. Often, they're just poorly executed investigative series with far too much of the personal filling in the gaps more research should have filled. Hello Unknown is totally different. Listening to an episode is hearing the world filtered through an inquisitive and creative mind.
The Rabbi, the Imam, and the Power of Dialogue. Since the partial ceasefire was announced in October, discussion has turned how to Israel and Gaza can find a more permanent peace. The conversations around this conflict haven't been easy, but podcasts like this one have attempted to find some common ground in the debate. The podcast is hosted by two British religious leaders in Manchester, England, Imam Nasser Kurdi and Rabbi David Lewis, were friends prior to starting the show, and their efforts to understand the perspectives of the other are admirable. The pair became closer after Nasser was stabbed in the neck outside his mosque in 2017. They've pushed for numerous interfaith initiatives across schools and premiership football clubs in the northwest of England, and their podcast is an extension of this impressive effort.
Past Master. History is one of the most popular podcast genres in the world. It's hard to do something original. Past Master manages to reinvent the wheel by being a time-travelling, role-playing show that turns history into an interactive game using an AI interface. When I hear AI podcast, I often wince. But this offering is unlike any preconception you may have about an AI-assisted format. Instead, the AI brings a sense of realism and unpredictability to the game, and I can easily see the show concept becoming a hit amongst role-playing gamers.
The Comedy Bureau. This new podcast from comedian Laura Lex teams her up with her former lecturer and comedy expert, Ollie Double, to take a more academic approach to a well-worn format. Each episode, they break down the theory, the history, and the rules that make comedy really universally effective. On paper, this concept doesn't sound like it should work. It probably shouldn't work, but the podcast succeeds emphatically, due mainly to the wonderful dynamic between Laura and Ollie. Comedy podcasts can often feel formulaic, but it's refreshing how comfortable they are in getting serious about being funny. Burning questions include, who was the first stand-up comedian? Are women funny? And is it a relief to laugh? If you're interested in the origins of the genre, the Comedy Bureau has the answers.
Ben Franklin's World. If you like history or have an interest in the US, then this veteran podcast from Liz Covart should be in your queue. Despite its title, this isn't just about the former politician who was never actually president, by the way. Instead, Ben Franklin's World explores the most influential people and events in early American history during the time of his life. There's a huge back catalogue to enjoy. If you're new to this subject, spend time exploring before you dive into some of the most recent niche subjects. You'll be glad you did. This is an exceptionally well-informed podcast that will make you an expert in American history.
Sounds like a cult. From MAGA to Beyonce, Love Island to Mark Zuckerberg. No topic is off limits in the newly refreshed Sounds Like a Cult. The podcast where OG Amanda Montell is joined by two new co-hosts. Okay, since September 24, so not totally new. To pick apart the rampant culty behaviour in a modern world. The latest iteration of Sounds Like a Cult lacks the comedic spark of old, but it remains a fascinating and insightful autopsy of popular culture, calling out some of the society's toxicity, which we all take for granted. The show also explores some pretty outlandish rabbit holes, which often provide some of the more enjoyable, albeit take with a pinch of salt, moments.
Why Farmers Are Playing Jazz to Cows, by Felix Pope in The Telegraph. Dairy farmers are playing jazz to their cows to relax them and boost milk production. The trend, spread through social media, has encouraged farmers to bring musical instruments and portable speakers to the edge of fields to serenade cattle. In one clip, an employee of Smith Hill's Open Farm in Bolton, Greater Manchester, said, "We've seen some videos online, so we're going to test it out if our Jersey cows like jazz." When Glenn Miller's In the Mood, a 1940s jazz standard, begins playing, a herd of cows rushes towards the speaker. "Well, our cows love jazz," the employee says. In 2021, Hollis Mead, a Devon organic dairy farm, organised a concert for its cows, at which the jazz pianist Ben Waters played. Owner Oliver Helmsley said his cows had loved the music, adding, "It provided some sort of distraction. They looked very happy. When the music started, they looked a little bemused, then moved quietly and quickly to their food." While jazz is now in vogue, for several years it has been popular for dairy farmers to play classical music while milking their cows. Mr. Hemsley said, "We've been doing it for a long time. It does relax the cows," he added. On a recent edition of BBC's Farm Watch, the saxophonist Julian Smith performed with a guitarist for an audience of cattle at Chesterton Fields Farm in Warwickshire. Charles Godby, a dairy farmer based in Nuneaton, told the broadcaster he had been playing music to his cows for nearly a decade. He said, "We installed a robotic milking system and there were a lot of new harsh sounds and noises, so we wanted to drown that out and give them a constant sound. This was about 10 years ago, and somebody suggested the cows like classical music. That was the trend back then. So I put a classical radio station on for the cows to listen to, and it just helps them relax a little. We always have music on in the milking parlour, not just for the staff to listen to. It's a little bit like the Pavlov's dogs theory, where it's waking up the senses. It starts their hormone production off, and actually the cows will release a little bit sooner and that milk flow will be a little bit quicker. It helps relax the cows and the workers, so that's a win-win all round." For a study published in 2001 by academics from the University of Leicester, 1,000 Holstein Friesians were played music for 12 hours a day for several weeks. When the cattle listened to slow and relaxed songs, their milk yield rose by 0.73 litres per cow per day, a 3% increase. However, the researchers discovered that listening to lively music with more than 120 beats per minute reduced the rate of milk production. According to a 2019 study, Holstein Friesian cows who listened to a classical collection were calmer and took more time to rest than peers who were listening to country music or no music at all. Meanwhile, a 2021 paper examining the impact of playing music to livestock concluded, "It would seem that music genres with a subdued natural sound, such as classical or relaxing music, are the best and safest choice for both cattle and humans." Juan Velez, the executive vice president of US-based Aurora Organic Farms, told Modern Farmer, "In terms of music, in my 30 years working with dairy cows, I have found that music can be beneficial to the well-being of the cows, but it must be constant and calming." Rob Handley, who also farms in Warwickshire, told the BBC his cows were very relaxed about the jazz and would probably like any music other than Birmingham heavy metal pioneers Black Sabbath. He said, "Truly, a bit of Ozzy Osbourne would scare the socks off them."
Neuroscientists studied more than 80,000 people and found that speaking multiple languages might slow down brain aging. By Margarita Bassi in the Smithsonian Magazine. When it comes to healthy brain aging, advice usually includes eating well, staying active, and maintaining social connections. New evidence, however, has added an extra task to the list: learning another language. Researchers found that speaking multiple languages may be associated with a reduced risk of accelerated cognitive aging. Their study, published on November the 10th in the journal Nature Aging, indicates that encouraging multilingualism could be a beneficial public health strategy. While some previous studies have indicated that speaking multiple languages can help guard memory and attention, the overall takeaway has been fairly inconclusive because of the small sample sizes, inadequate ways of measuring aging, and other factors. By analysing survey data from more than 86,000 healthy individuals ages 51 to 90 in 27 countries across Europe, the team behind the recent paper avoided some of these pitfalls. The effects of multilingualism on ageing have always been controversial, but I don't think there has been a study of this scale before, which seems to demonstrate them quite decisively. Christos Pliaskis, a cognitive neuroscientist at the University of Reading, who was not involved in the study, tells Nature's Katie Kavanagh. The research team behind the new work determined the difference between each participant's actual chronological age and their predicted age based on health and lifestyle factors. If someone's predicted age is much higher than their chronological age, they are aging faster than expected, which may heighten their risk for age-related diseases. Scientists examined each participant's gap between their chronological and predicted ages in relation to the number of languages they spoke, based on self-reporting. Computer analyses suggested that multilingual speakers are about half as likely to experience accelerated aging compared with those who speak only one language. The protective effect of multilingualism remained when the researchers accounted for country-level linguistic, physical, social, and socio-political factors, such as air quality and gender equality. And the more languages one speaks, the better. Each additional language provided measurable protection, says Augustin Ibanez, a study co-author and neuroscientist at Trinity College Dublin. Speaking several languages continuously exercises multiple systems. It forces you to manage attention, inhibit interference, and switch between linguistic rules, all of which strengthen the networks that tend to weaken with age, he adds. Stephen May, a Maori and Indigenous education scholar at the University of Auckland, notes the paper's results ultimately urge policymakers to integrate language learning into their health and education strategies, with particular significance for English-speaking countries. While 50 to 70% of the world is multilingual, the most native English speakers are monolingual. Main brain health recommendations focus on reducing damage accumulated by the brain across a lifetime through lifestyle changes. But the new study suggests that simply speaking more languages can improve how well the brain compensates for damage.
So that brings us to the end of this week's edition of Your Talking Newspaper. My thanks to our readers, Liz Hayward and David Smith, to Kate Grogan for the news, to Kieran Grogan for the magazine, and thanks again to Kate for the What's On. Thanks as ever to everybody else who helps out behind the scenes to bring you Your Talking Newspaper each week. Remember, if you've got anything you'd like to tell us about the Talking Newspaper, please contact us on Darlington 465 101. If there's nobody in, please leave a message and someone will get back to you. Or you can email us on dtnewspaper@outlook.com. So until the next time we meet, which will be in the new year, from me, Jed, and all the team, stay safe, have a good Christmas. Bye for now.